Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa. KZ got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
And yes, you just heard an open mic and us talking about something. We are Dukes and Bell.
It's actually 5:03. I blame Craig for this. My gosh, darn it.
We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Glad to have you listening. We got great news for our Braves we're going to tell you about. We're going to talk about the Falcons as well. We're going to break down this whole communication thing between the coaches and who's calling the defenses. We'll let you hear from Dan Quinn and Jeff Ulbrich, who's our linebackers coach, but he's also been calling first and second downs for our Falcons. Now, if you're just joining us and tuning in for the first time today, thank you for listening. The Braves, and we've been talking about this all day, and ironically, they pulled the trigger on something that we're going to get deeper into here in about 10 minutes. So you'll want to stay tuned. But Mike and I were talking about today the fact that the GM's meetings, and I was saying this is where the groundwork is laid for a lot of the deals that are going to take place down the road, winter meetings, before we get back to spring training. And we were talking about the Braves and what they were going to do potentially. Where should they spend? What are the priorities? Well, the news breaks that the Braves have signed, Mike, the best free agent closer on the market in Will Smith.
This is the guy we really wanted. This is the guy that we talked about all during the trade deadline, but the Giants and the Braves couldn't get together on a deal. 3 years, $39 million, says Dave O'Brien from The Athletic. Big time, good money, actually. Not a break-the-bank closer deal, Carl. I got to be honest with you. That's pretty solid. This guy's from Noonan, Georgia, Southside. He's been a lights-out closer, and this just beefs things up because Melanson was too old to really be that guy right now. He's more of a setup man. He was out of position as the closer. Shane Green can now be used as a setup guy. Maybe they trade Shane Green. I don't know, Carl, but Shane Green's still a guy. You got one of the best bullpens now in baseball from having one of the worst bullpens about a year ago.
Yeah, and for me, I'm not trading any of these guys. Let's roll it out because here's the deal. The injury factor always plays. You start trading arms, and then now you're looking for arms down the road. I'm going to stay pat and stay the course right now. I felt like the bullpen, even without this signing, was solid. Heading into the season, certainly much more solid than last year. Think about it. We went into the season, and there were so many question marks last year. You come into the start. If spring training started tomorrow, and it doesn't, you now know you've got potentially three guys who can close if need be. More importantly, you've got a setup system, and I always talked about this last year, and it bugged the hell out of me. How do we get from 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th? If we've got starters that are going to give you 5 and a third, how do we get from the 6th to the 9th inning? Mike, you've got a plan now, and you've got it on multiple nights. Different ways you can go about it. And this guy last year was unbelievable, an all-star. And by the way, opponents just hit 196 again against him. He was great against lefties. This is, in my opinion, a great move by the Braves to get the offseason started.
Yeah, we got the word. We're in the middle of the conversation with Rich McKay when it went down. But, yeah, 30 years old, be 31 in July. As I said, he's from Noonan. He's played for the Royals, Brewers, and, of course, as you said, most coming into prominence with the Giants. It's a great day to be a Brave because we were saying, let's not wait till the next trade deadline. We were just talking about this last hour, about being proactive. The winter meeting's going down in Scottsdale. Braves will have to give up a compensatory pick because the Giants had made an offer to Will, but now Will comes home to Atlanta. How cool.
Qualifying offer. All right, more on that coming up. That is a huge deal for our Braves as they continue to improve, and this is what it's about. Don't just sit around and go, well, we're pretty good. Get better, and today they did that with this signing. All right, let's talk about the Falcons. And by the way, a Falcons report brought to you by Domino's.
Domino's, guys, right now, great deal. Large three-topping pizza, $7.99. It's carry-out. It's good every night of the week. So whether you're going to hunker down this weekend, watch the Dogs or the Falcons, make it a pizza party with Domino's.
All right, the one thing Dan Quinn has said and made it clear, he answered this question yesterday, guys, because we're all wondering, where does this defense come from? This doesn't look like the defense I've seen the first 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. What happened? And he says he's been leaning on Raheem Morris and Jeff Ulbrich a lot more. As a matter of fact, he says, I hear checkers. When you observe a checkers game.
And I, by the way, I know it's nice. I'm just being a wise ass.
Of course you are. Yeah, I know that. But actually, probably pretty good at chess. Mike, you see moves way before they get there, right? If you're watching a chess or checkers game, if you're in it, You're not thinking about that. You're thinking about your next move. And that's what goes on. It's a reactive thing to
offenses. Too many moving parts, right? Too many moving parts.
Yeah, and the deal for me is what Dan Quinn says, I'm on the headset, but I'm allowing these guys to make the calls. I want you to hear what he said about his ego, because we've all wondered about this. All right, so basically he went from I'm not giving up the calls to I'm giving up the calls.
I don't have an ego that's anything bigger than our team. That's the most important thing, is, you know, how we can do the best job for the players. So that's what I felt was best at this time. And so that's why I really leaned on to Jeff and Raheem specifically to take on a larger role. And like he expected them to, they answered the challenge very strongly.
You know, Jeff Ulbrich's a guy that we always love spending time with. We had a chance earlier this offseason when the defensive coaches, again, not giving you the secret information, but giving you the big picture of what they're trying to do. And they broke that down with different groups, linebackers, defensive backs, etc. But Jeff, great recruiter for UCLA, been with Dan for a while now. Like the idea that he's doing the sort of the run down and distance type stuff. Either way, it worked great against New Orleans. Moving forward, I'm excited. But Carl, Jeff Schultz did write that article back in October saying that maybe Quinn had the wrong guys. He had his own people in there. There was still some hesitancy to make these moves until it was like almost desperation time. I'm still, as a fan, excited about it, but wondering why it didn't happen sooner.
And it's a valid point, because I would tell you that as Dan Quinn had this, you know, epiphany that he was going to be the defensive coordinator and take things over, that there was no one there to say, Dan, do you really think this is a smart idea? Do you want all this responsibility? I will say this. Dan Quinn, every year he says he learns things, right? He wasn't great at clock management. He brought in a clock management guy. This was, I'm going to change things in the culture of what's going on with our defense, and he decided to do this. I just think he was overwhelmed, Mike, and that's what it gets down to. All of that said, it's just now we're understanding what this communication process is and who's calling what. At the end of the day, if it works, nobody cares, but it hasn't worked, so everybody has cared. And because it hasn't worked, we've all wondered what was wrong. And I think what was wrong was you had too much responsibility on the DC, which is our head coach, and now he's at least relinquished some of those duties, which I think ultimately is going to help us.
Because you and I were asking that question. It's fun to hear Dan address it, because, I mean, we don't think of Dan as like an egomaniac. We've been around coaches and guys in sports that have the big, big ego. Dan's never really struck me as that guy. Maybe it was just good old-fashioned stubbornness. You know, about the adherence to the guys that he had coaching the way they were coaching. And now he does show the flexibility. Again, we've got to build off it. It all starts, of course, next weekend up in Charlotte. By the way, the injury report, Luke Stocker, who's the backup, he had full participation with a knee today. Matt was limited with an ankle injury, which we talked about. Also, guys, Trufant with a toe. Are we going to see Trufant back on the field this week?
I don't think so.
Kaminsky, limited with an ankle injury. Concussion protocol for Schweitzer at backup guard. And, of course, Free is not doing it, as is Austin Hooper. Dan Quinn yesterday disagreeing with the NFL Network report saying that Hooper would be out for a month. So either way, we're not going to have him this week against Carolina. And Carolina, according to our buddy Joe Person up there writing for The Athletic, Christian McCaffrey back in practice after sitting out yesterday with some sort of a foot injury.
I agree with Desmond Trufant. True said we got to keep him one-dimensional, and that means making McCaffrey the go-to guy, meaning keeping him on the ground. If you allow Kyle Allen to start throwing the rock around and all of a sudden now you've got McCaffrey in the mix, that's tough.
Like I said, they got weapons, you know. They can beat you in spots, you know. So we just got to challenge them. And, you know, when they throw it up there, when they try to run, you know, just make them pay for it.
Let's hope that's the case. It is our Falcon Report, guys. Real quick while we're talking about this, because we're going to talk Braves and some other things that are going down with our team here at 520. So stay tuned for that. Mike, we find out who's going to run this Kaepernick workout. We've been talking about it today.
Who's the man in charge?
Hugh Jackson. Now, this is what the NFL put out there. Quote, not my quote, the NFL. We're looking forward to Saturday's workout with Colin Kaepernick. 11 teams, Arizona, Atlanta, Cleveland, Denver, Detroit, Miami, New England, New York, and Washington have already committed to attend. And it's only Thursday. This is their memo they put out. With 2 days remaining until the workout, we expect additional teams to commit. Former head coach Hugh Jackson will lead the drills, and former NFL head coach Joe Philbin will be in attendance.
Okay. So when do I get an RSVP for this? I guess you got to do it now. Check yes if you plan on attending. As we said, guys, the Falcons, they're just using the facilities. Falcons have nothing to do with this. They will have a scout there to look at what's going on. We'll see. Carl and I are of the opinion this is going to go nowhere.
Nowhere.
Just probably worried about pending litigation or something else, and that's why they played cover your ass with this. Either way, 11 teams, Carl, and the
11.
List may be out the timing, but it's down on Saturday. There you have it.
Falcons watch party, guys. Buffalo Wings, Peachtree Corners, Sunday, starting at noon. Falcon prizes on site. Falcons on player as well. The latest on the by our Braves, and we just found something else out about our third baseman. Stay there. Got a lot of baseball stuff going on. You're going, wait a minute. It's football season. Yes, it is. Basketball has started. Yes, it has. But this is when deals get done, Mike Bell.
Hot stove.
General manager's meeting's going on, and we got to get to it, man. Let's get to our strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, Mike. First and foremost, Braves sign a closer, the closer, actually, on the free agent market. This is a good deal. Will Smith is now going to be a Brave. You said the deal, 3 years, very reasonable, right?
Yeah, it comes out to $13 million a year, and it's a guy that's in his prime. He's 30 years of age, had a fantastic season last year and then into last year for the Giants. So he's a guy we had kicked around about trying to deal for. We had mentioned Shane Green, Will Smith. Remember, it was like Shane Green, Will Smith. We'd mentioned that all the time. This is a guy that really does beef up your bullpen. You got a guy in his prime. Melanson now slides into the setup role, which is more, you know, makes more sense. And, of course, you still got Shane Green. So you got a bullpen now, Carl, that you could argue a season and a half ago was a major liability, and now you got one of the best in the bigs.
It's really impressive. I'll tell you that. First of all, we have experience, okay? Remember how inexperienced our bullpen was going into last season. So, one, you have experience, which is a big key in baseball, and I've said this. You don't win with first- and second-year guys. Usually the teams that win, you know, the average guy's been in the league 5 to 8 years. We've got that in the bullpen. You have guys that have pitched in big situations now, right? Melanson, we've talked about this. In his days back with the Pirates, which is one of the reasons why they went out and got him. Green showed that he could be really good, but then we had some pressure situations, Mike. Didn't look as good. I think he'll be better this year. But this dude was shut down last year. When you talk about the game being online, it was money.
According to Dave O'Brien from The Athletic, Will Smith guaranteed $40 million in a 3-year deal. It's a $1 million buyout of a $13 million fourth-year option in 2023. So the Braves, again, they've got a fourth-year option if they pick it up. So the dude is, as we said, one of the guys we really wanted at the trade deadline. We've talked so much about the Braves being proactive, not waiting to go into next July, Carl, to make these moves. So this is great. If you could find another, if you get the starter, that's fantastic. But the is, will you have the money to do all the things you want to do? Josh Donaldson, he turns down the qualifying offer the Braves made, which was a low ball offer.
Yeah, this is tied to compensation, meaning, first of all, it doesn't mean that Donaldson, you know, he wants to shop the market, right?
It's the first step, yeah.
Yes, he wants to see where things are going. But, Mike, at the end of the day, if he leaves, we're going to get compensation for him. So that's the good news, turning down a qualifying offer. I'm just excited about Will Smith.
Now this is a story.
Yeah, now we're going to get jiggy.
Oh, wait. Not that Will Smith.
Actually, Carl, he's a white guy from Noonan.
Yes, not that Will Smith. This is the Fresh Prince.
White guy from Noonan.
But it's kind of interesting. You know, we got Chris Martin, Coldplay, not really. We got Will Smith, not really, but these guys are the same name, and, you know, we're going to have some fun with that. Either way, man, we get the number one closer in the free agent market. We'll see what the deal is with Josh Donaldson. Here's the deal. This is what we talked about, Mike. What's the market going to be for him? He's not getting Rendon money, but he's going to get a big check.
Now, again, Josh is a guy we've argued about. What would the contract look like? Would Josh take a 2-year deal? This is, again, Carl, at his stage of his career. You know, you got a lifeline from Alex Anthopoulos last year, and he certainly earned it. Now he's obviously increased his market value. But this is his last chance to get the big contract. So you're going to have to spend to keep Josh Donaldson. I mean, big money.
Do you think
you could get him for a 2-year deal?
That's what I'd like to, but I just don't know if his agent's going to do that. I just don't think he's going to do that. I'd like to do that because it's smart play for the Braves. Here are the other guys, by the way, turning down qualifying offers. Madison Bumgarner, which is a guy we've talked about. Rendon. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that have turned down qualifying offers, Strasburg. So my point is, this is just a part of the process. This is what happens.
It's just so funny because about an hour and a half ago, we were just talking about this at 4:30. I was saying, let's go out there and be proactive. Well, that's being proactive. And the other things we didn't mention, this dude's a lefty. You got an effective lefty. You got Melanson. We talked about Green. You know, you've got some good things happening right now when you look at the Braves. Now all you got to do is go get a Madison Bumgarner because we unfortunately don't think we'll ever be in the mix for a guy like Garrett Cole, who was runner-up to Verlander for the AL Cy Young. By the way, Jake DeGrom gets the National League second year in a row for the Mets. But Will Smith, a lefty, dude is money. This is one of those guys, Carl, we mentioned every time days leading up to the trade deadline that we wanted. We wound up getting Shane Green, who, as you said, after all the mistakes and the flubs of Luke Jackson, it was almost like a comedy the way Shane unfortunately started his run. That's why they went to Melanson as the closer.
Yeah, the reason why I'm excited about this, guys, is we now have a plan. when you talk about, and again, this is left up to Snicker, but and he'll figure it out, but when you talk about who are you going to go out and throw between the innings of the sixth and seventh inning to get you to the ninth inning to finish the ball game, it was really a big mystery for a big portion of the season. And it was one of the reasons why we continued to blow leads. Now, we were the best team in scoring runs after the seventh inning this year and getting back in the games and winning them. But part of the issue was, all right, we got a lead. How do we hold it? And that was our problem. We're running guys out there, and that's why you guys became so frustrated with Luke Jackson. Don't be mad at Luke. Luke was out of position, okay?
You can only do what God has given you the talent to do, Carl.
Luke, to me, Mike, is a mid-reliever. He's not a closer, and you put him in that position to come in and get you a couple of outs in the sixth, okay?
I'd try to find a way to get him off the roster.
He's not going anywhere. He's cheap, and they like him. And I think
can we get him off the roster?
Then he's not going anywhere.
Oh, please.
Luke Jackson's not going anywhere. But I'm just saying, you know, everybody was upset. And I was too. I mean, Randy McMichael wouldn't even mention the guy's name. But I also think he was not put in a position to be successful because that's not what he is. Now you've got guys to do this. He doesn't have to do
that. They gave him every opportunity to win that job, and it didn't pan out, as we just talked about. Then, you know, they got Green. They made things work. We've just got to go get the other starter. That's the thing now. We were kicking around, if you missed the conversation an hour ago. Is Austin Riley going to – because let's say – what if Donaldson goes out there? The Rangers are in the mix. What if the money becomes crazy money for Donaldson? Then you got to go find a third baseman. Do you think that Austin Riley can keep his head on straight for 162 games? I mean, that would be the worst-case scenario for the Braves regarding Donaldson.
It is, because the one thing we lacked was pop in the lineup, additional pop. He added that. Can Riley do it for the entire season? He was great for, what, a month and a half, was it, maybe? So it's a big question mark, man. But listen, good start for our Braves. We're excited about it. It's part of our strong arm story of the day, as we've been telling you guys. And if they, you know, make another big move, and I said this, the spending should not be an issue. Mike, go spend that money on a starting pitcher. Go sign a guy if you feel like that's the one thing that we're lacking. Because let's just add Cole to this mix. Let's say Cole is signed. How much better is this team?
You've got a team that can win a World Series.
You do.
You really do, guys. And I know that everyone loves and that's why the Luke Jackson fixation drove me crazy. I mean, yes, he's a little good. Yes, he's on the team. So what? You need a guy that can get the job done. You know, that's why I was so hard on Folty last year. Folty was supposed to be our ace, and that's why I was on his butt until he finally got it together, and he looked great in the second half, save for the game five against the Cards. But you got Fried, you got Soroka. They're still developing. You know, everything points to, yes, if they stay healthy, they can be our Smoltz Glavine moving forward, but you got to get that Garrett Cole-type guy. You know, Madison Baumgartner is relatively inexpensive for the Braves, but come on. Swing for the fences, guys. You're making some money moves right now. Go for it. Can you please just go get that guy? If you get Garrett Cole, I'm not even going to sweat what happens to Josh Donaldson.
Because pitching wins.
Bingo. Look what we just saw the Nationals do.
Yeah, because pitching wins. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You want to get in the conversation. Find us, by the way, on social media as well. 929 The Game, that's our radio station. And then Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Mike Bell, ATL, that's him on Twitter. And I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Guy just hit me up. He said, Dukes, do you think, this is a very good question, because Donaldson, was injured and missed out maybe on a couple of years of getting some big checks, that regardless how much he loves the Braves, he's got to go get
right,
this money.
That just did. When he left Toronto to go to Cleveland and he was banged. Remember, he had the calf injury, and that's what we were so worried about when we signed him. Yeah, I mean, you only get a certain amount of these opportunities, guys. So a three-year deal, you know, maybe the Braves would throw a two with an option for a third. He's going to want to get a three-year deal. First team that came up, and there's a few others out there, but the Rangers were the one that was linked to to wanting Josh Donaldson. We'll see where it goes.
We are live inside of the Kia Studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Hey, Falcon fans, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcon game for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. My man, Harry Douglas, Paul Crane, they'll preview the Falcons' upcoming matchup. Countdown to Kickoff brought to you by Bud Light. Brewed for the Dirty Birds.
Couldn't Liberty Media get a loan from themselves and we go get Rendon too?
You just want everybody.
I want it all, man.
I want it all.
You know why? Because I'm on drugs. We'll explain, man. Guy talk. Crazy drug.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah, man, it's time for some guy talk. We'll get you caught up on the headlines, including the latest on our Red Velvet. That's Kevin Herter, for those of you who don't know the nickname for our Atlanta Hawk guard, and he was injured on this road trip. We'll tell you the latest on that. More on what the Braves are doing. I just retweeted Mark Melancon. I guess he just got word. Melancon's like, we just got better. So listen, this is what happens in the offseason, man, and you see management's behind it. We'll get all into that. But what you got, Mike, because you came in today and you were on fire. You were a madman.
Yeah, I'm a little jacked today, a little extra sauce. You know me, I can always try to lose weight the healthy way by eating healthier and just cutting out alcohol and carbs and everything. Or I could just go to GNC and try to do it with pills. And, of course, I opted for the latter. Today is day one, Carl, of the latest. I think it's like super duper testosterone max something or other. So I don't know. There's a problem over here on the ninth floor. I just peed and the urinal melted.
So, whoa, what?
So we got an issue there. Craig, I don't think I'm a little more jacked than usual. I mean, usually I'm just blah, 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 blah. Just today. It's just...
I don't know about that, man. There's something about the hair, Bo, isn't there? There's something going on with you. I mean, you came in
mm-hmm.
and you clean shaven.
Right.
You've got a full beard right now.
Oh, you stop that. That's ridiculous. I'm just looking for the edge, man. I'm looking for the edge. I'm looking for the I'm taking my performance to the max.
I see that. So, I see that.
And we mentioned this at 2 o'clock to start the show, and immediately a guy texts and he's like, so what do you want, man? What do you got? No, it all started because I go in GNC and I go to get like the NuGenics, well, you know, the Frank Thomas stuff. Wow, is that Frank Thomas? He looks kind of fat, even in a black shirt. You know how those commercials go? But I tried the NuGenics Ultimate stuff. And so the guy, when I went there the other night, the guy's like, you getting results from that? I'm like, yeah? He goes, psst, well, we got something else right here under the counter. Try this new testosterone max. I'm like, oh, that sounds exciting.
Whenever you hear the words, are you getting results from that? And do you want something better?
So, again, anything. I could have read the instructions. No, time for that. I just popped four in my pie hole and hit the gym. And I've been a maniac ever since.
I hope that was the amount you were supposed to take, by
who
the way.
Who knows? I can't read the by fine the, print.
By the look of that full beard over there, I think you overdid it.
Will you stop that? Get off my back! And again, for people that are asking, I don't get paid by GNC. I just, you know me, I'm always looking for shortcuts. And let's wait and see if I have a heart attack by 7 o'clock or I grow a tail before you guys run out and buy something.
God, I hope not.
I agree. Hey, guys, it is our Guy Talk brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscle to bones, getting moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com. All right, for guys like Squid Billy and me, we do our Formula 101 podcast. Today is like Christmas comes early. You know what? Debuts tonight in theaters all around America.
What's that, brother?
That is Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh, yeah.
The Matt Damon, Christian Bale movie based on the Ford GT. And if you're not familiar with it, it was the car, the GT40, that DeCarroll Shelby helped to perfect. And it's a great, great story about Le Mans racing, how they took it to Ferrari. I'm a huge fan of Carroll Shelby. I've read all the books on him. Actually got a chance to meet him once at an event at Chateau Alain up at Road Atlanta. This dude is about as badass as it gets. Now, Matt Damon looks nothing like him. He was 6'3 from Texas, this dude. But just one of the most innovative car builders and race car drivers. Can't wait to see it. All the reviews I read today say it's kind of like the bromance you had with DiCaprio and Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
They're saying the dynamic with Bale, who plays English race car driver Ken Miles, they said it's really, really good.
I saw a brief interview. You know, they do all those teasers, getting you ready for the movie to come out. And they asked Matt Damon if he was anything like this character. And he said, no, I'm nothing like him. And to your point, right. You know, but he plays the role very well. Listen, Bale's great. Matt Damon. I'm interested in this. Being, you know, a car fan myself, Mike, for most casual people who have no idea about the racing side of things, maybe you guys heard of the Shelby Ford, the Mustang.
Right.
Right. That's where that comes from. Now, you've got different variations of builders from around the world, but that's one that most people would know about the Shelby Mustang.
And I'm looking forward to seeing if they bring it up in the movie. Carroll Shelby actually raced for Enzo Ferrari. He thought that Enzo Ferrari was cutting corners with safety. One of his good friends got killed driving one in the late 50s. And so he really made it his mission to beat Ferrari. And then Ford tried to buy Ferrari in the early 60s, didn't go down. And then Henry Ford basically made it a vendetta. Let's beat them at Le Mans. And that's the premise of the movie. But they're saying even if you're not like a gearhead, you should dig it. So I'll give you the review tomorrow.
Please do. Yeah, I'm curious about it.
By the way, I'm going to go to Atlantic Grill up at Atlantic Station tonight. They usually have Hey Man Ale, so go get a Hey Man and watch the movie this weekend, all right?
Please do. Go get a Hey Man Ale. Please.
Hey Man, the mutations have begun, Carl. This is where either the zombie apocalypse begins or we get the X-Men out of this. Up in Michigan, somebody was out there in the snow with his dog taking a walk and he spotted a three-antlered deer.
Wow.
There's an antler here, an antler there, and then one sticking right between his ears.
Yeah, that's abnormal, by the way.
I would say so. Steven Lindbergh, 75 years of age, was walking his Shih Tzu in the woods near Marquette,
Michigan.
What'd
you just say?
It's his dog, Carl.
Oh.
When he noticed a deer, and again, he's not a hunter. He's a shutterbug. So he took a picture. So you can Google if you're into that. Now, that would be kind of neat. Say,
would you eat that deer?
Yeah, unless it went near the nuclear facility or something.
What I'm saying. I mean, I don't know if I'd eat a deer with an abnormal antler.
Yeah, it's like that episode of The Simpsons. Remember Blinky, the three-eyed fish that they had in the creek that was by the nuclear reactor? Yeah, I'm not sure necessarily I'd jump on that. But now I will say this. You and I both have done some hunting. I don't have the patience to sit in a deer stand. But, I mean, that would be a hell of a, you know, have something mounted where it's got three antlers on your wall.
Yeah, no, it'd be cool. Would you put anything like that on your wall, by the way? I've got friends in Texas that they're big game hunters, and it is cool, but it's very intimidating, too.
I got to be honest with you. I mean, not to sound like a hipster, but you know, it doesn't really match the aesthetic of a Midtown condo, Carl.
No, it doesn't.
My wife actually shot a deer. They've got one mounted at her parents' house up in Pennsylvania.
But what if you caught a huge marlin? Would you put that up?
I've already discussed this. We went fishing in the Keys last year. Becky's like, do not bring home some giant fish. Oh, we're bringing
yes.
home.
Yes.
And then, by the way, that costs a small fortune to get to get that thing prepared.
That's the thing.
I guess there's a phrase for taxidermy for fish, but it's like super expensive.
You got to
ship it, the whole thing. But again,
because you catch it and then you send it away, and it's like months later before you get it.
But if you got like a marlin or a swordfish, tell me you wouldn't want to have that bad boy over the fireplace.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
I'd make room.
What?
That's it. Put it over the bed.
You're not putting it there. It doesn't match.
Oh, totally. What are you, nuts? Love that stuff. All right, so we talked about the mutants with the deer, but wait.
There's more.
Down in Missouri, and you guys may have seen this, it's gone viral. All you have to do is just Google puppy with tail on his head.
What?
Yeah, there's a puppy. It's like a dachshund mix. The thing's absolutely adorable. It's a 10-week-old. They've named him Narwhal, like the whale with the horn. Get it? The dog has got a tail growing on the top of his head, basically right between his eyes. I hope the thing doesn't get cross-eyed looking at the tail. But the pictures are just unbelievable. They've already got 70 people lined up in this shelter somewhere in like Bumflub, Missouri. They took the dog in. The puppy's fine. Doctor says it's not going to hurt him health-wise, but he's got a tail on the top of his noggin. He said that there's no medical reason to have the tail removed. He said the tail doesn't have any bones or anything connecting it to its skull. He says he seems to be okay with it. So if you hadn't seen that, have you seen it yet? Are you looking it up?
I'm looking at
it. It's adorable. But isn't that going to mess the dog up? Won't he get like cross-eyed if he's got the tail between his eyeballs?
That's bananas.
I mean, this gives it a new meaning to a dog chasing his tail. I guess this guy could lick it. I mean, right there, technically.
Okay. Yeah, this is weird. I mean, when you see these photos, I mean, it just looks weird only because it doesn't look like a normal dog, but we know these things happen.
Now, again, I mean, I know you might, I don't want to be getting morbid because I know you've been having health issues with your dog, but would you? I mean, it'd be a conversation starter. You're walking a dog at Piedmont Park and he's got a tail on his head.
Well, no doubt. I mean, there'd be a few women that would stop and go, oh my God, what's wrong with him? Yeah, I'm sure that happened a couple times.
I'm thinking of the old George Carlin joke. If you could have another appendage right there on your forehead, would you do it? And for the kids at home, it's an adult joke. It is, in case you missed it, guys, brought to you now called Guy Talk, brought to you by our buddies at Resurgence Orthopedics. One last little nugget for you also, brother. The story that, speaking of dogs, a dog in Alaska. You see this one? You also can Google it. It's some kind of a Siberian Husky mix. The dog got left at a rest stop, and as an older couple, they didn't realize the dog was left behind.
Yeah.
And they get up the road. They go back. They double back to the rest stop, and the dog's gone. They can't find it. They figure somebody made off with it. The dog makes it up 1,800 miles from Southern California all the way up to Alaska. Reunites with the family.
Unreal. I mean, these stories are
it's like a Disney movie.
That's incredible.
Right? That's Homeward Bound Part 2,
yeah.
Craig just said, Meyer, right?
And so you're telling me this dog lived off the land, basically.
Obviously,
he wasn't hungry for 1,800 miles.
Well, I mean,
he was finding something.
Great puppy. But, I mean, it's Northern California, so check that. But whatever the distance is right there, all the way from somewhere outside
to Alaska.
Yeah. Actually, by Craig's part of the country, Stockton, where Sons of Anarchy from. So I guess the dog was hitchhiking up I-5.
That's an amazing story, man.
There you go. So there you have dogs, discovery, and dogs that, again, have tails on their head.
Yeah, and I got to give some credit to one of our listeners who said, Dukes, apparently you're describing Mike with this beard and this testosterone, so we do have Mike Bell Chia Pet.
Now, I am sweating profusely.
You are?
I am hyper as I'm ever hyper, but I don't think there's any other side effects of this stuff so far. I just feel like Tony Montana in a montage.
Coming up.
Does it bother you when I'm jogging around the studio during the commercial breaks?
This was on when I left the house today. Scarface.
I saw it too. That's why I got Craig to play it. There you go, guys. Brought to you by Resurgence.
All right, man. We're going to tell you the latest on the move made by our Braves. It's a big one. Stay right there.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.